Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. Kind of a fun, laid-back show today. I want to really get into Brittany Griner doing a press conference sounding just like a man, which is, that is what he is. He's a man. I even posted a video of him shooting in the backyard. It's a man. They slowly bringing it out. It's a man. And Black America specifically cannot wake up to the fact that that's a man because they're so scared of being attacked online by voicing their opinion or having a stance on this perversion stupidity. Let everybody enjoy themselves. Let everybody have fun. Let everybody, they're not hurting anybody. That comes entirely too much out of the Black community, especially Black men. That's why the title of this episode is called Immaturity is a Young Man's Game, because immaturity leads to not being fearful of the Most High, which means it leads you into stupidity. And since we know, if you read the book of Ecclesiasticus, getting wisdoms and being smart comes from a fear of the Most High. And we all been young and dumb before. That's why it's never called young and smart. It's called young and dumb. We all been young and dumb and being fooled by this world. So now it's being... Now the volume of stupidity is being turned up so far. People are so scared to be smart because they don't want to get ostracized or isolated from their peers or from their online peers, really strangers that they don't even know. They're more concerned about their outward appearance or how it looks on the outside because they're so scared it'll show up at their job. It'll show up, they'll get fired. So a lot of people are in fear of this world and not in fear of the Most High, which leads them to be completely stupid to these situations and these events, especially with someone like Brittany Griner. All you had to do was look at that video of him shooting in the background in the backyard and say, okay, this is a man. Then hear him speak. There is no woman with a voice that deep. And yet people cannot put two and two together because they cannot fathom what would make a grown man want to play basketball amongst women? And I'll go further. What university would knowingly give a young child or a teenager an opportunity to play female sports, maybe knowing that it was a male all along? Somebody got to that family early and said, okay, this is what we're allowed to do. We're going to make this person a star. So we're going to allow them to play in the women's league. And then he's gotten Player of the Year awards from being at Baylor, playing amongst women. I remember when I was watching him play, I was like, damn, they got a girl that can dunk now? Because that's all they were showing. Like, this person's the next big deal. Then to come to find out where we at now. We at now listening to this person do interviews. And I don't think any of us has ever heard Brittany Griner speak until now. And this person has been in the lead for some time now. But no one's ever talked about, damn, she sounds like a man. They didn't even try to help him out and just take estrogen to kind of mask the voice. So literally, he wasn't doing any video interviews in his college days or none that we have heard. Or they just wasn't allowing him to do interviews. I don't know, because I don't understand how none of us picked that up until now. But this creates stupidity. It creates a dumbed-downness of this generation. And especially, like I said, it starts with men. Men are getting dumber. Women are reacting to what they hadn't had the chance to do when men in the 90s and the 80s were, quote unquote, supposedly be toxic, their masculinity was toxic. So women are kind of reacting to not being able to be like men in the 90s. Because the men that they're trying to react, they can't be reacting from what men are acting like today, because men are acting like today are acting like females. They're acting effeminate. They're acting soft. They're acting immature. I saw a post that Joel Santana, the rapper from The Diplomats, posted a picture a couple days ago still dressing like he's 20. They don't show him being old. They don't show anybody in that clique, from Cameron to Jim Jones, they don't show them acting their true age. Method Man, Red Man, you don't see them dress and act their true age when they're not doing photo shoots. But when you see them, you would think Red Man had just finished that MTV Cribs episode where he was laying on the floor and he had friends laying on the floor in this shack he was living in. Because I was watching Pastor Steve Madari and he said that you can't sell certain things, you can't sell a lifestyle to people who are mature or people who are grown. So some of you are still watching sports or still being entertained because that's where immaturity plays at. It plays in childlike scenarios or situations or spaces. Real mature men can see past certain things. After a while, when you wake up, when you become mature spiritually and mentally, certain things just don't excite your psychic anymore. You move on from that. But you can see with some of these young old acting rappers that their minds are trapped in the 20 and being 20s, in the mid-20s. Their brains and minds are still trapped in the 90s and the early 2000s. You can see it. But these are the people that this generation of men look up to. Which is why a lot of artists are called young and little and baby. I know I've touched on this before, but this is what it is. And this is why I talked about this, because I recently watched the Creed 3 movie. I'm not going to spoil it for you if you didn't watch it, but really, it is really no spoiling to it. If you watch Rocky 3, you know they took the same scenario and put it right on Creed 3. They're not even creative. And just because they put the guy from Ryan Coogler from Black Panther writing it, he literally did nothing but took an archetype of Clubber Lang and made that Jonathan Majors character. But they had to make it homoerotic. And by what I mean by homoerotic, they made it closely like Brokeback Mountain. That's why everybody was talking about that photo shoot, not the feminine one that Jonathan Majors did, but the one him and Michael B. Jordan was holding each other. There was a spell behind that. And of course, again, if you go to the comments of that specific picture, black men are saying, you guys must never had homeboys before. You must never had close friends before. And they defend it. Because they are caught in a space where they don't know if they're feminine or masculine. So they have to defend it because now their masculinity is touched. So that's why black men was defending that picture. Oh, no, y'all ain't never had friends before. Y'all ain't never had male camaraderie before. It was deeper than that. Because only people will go onto a comment section and don't even link the comment to the specific comment that they seen that triggered that emotion. They put it in a blanket space comment that's untouched or not under a reply, but just a blanket statement. Oh, you guys never had friends before. Bro, we all have friends. We all hug our guy friends. It was nothing like that. But if you understand the nature of Hollywood, and specifically black Hollywood, you know exactly what they were trying to do. They did the same thing with that movie Moonlight. All Creed 3 was, as I laughed and watched it, was about homoeroticism. That's all it was between black men. Because only black men would be really upset when your homeboy go to jail and you don't go to jail and this man gets out and blames you for not writing him back in jail or not coming to see him or feeling like you've been abandoned and left. Because they come from broken homes or they come from a single parent homes. So some young black men, especially black men in this era, are so closely linked to all their boys that their boys, the love for their boys, supersedes righteousness, supersedes parental advisement. That's what makes men weak. White men don't do this. Hispanic men do it, but white men don't do this, and Asian men don't do this. They do not blame each other for each other's downfall. And that's all Creed 3 was. Like, damn, you made you seem like you was in love with this man. You are a teenager, a grown teenager, hanging out with a younger teenager, and you go to jail for your foolishness. Then you get out. Then you get upset for the man. Like, what is the other teenager, your friend, supposed to do? Is he supposed to come see you every single day and forget about his life? Because that's where abandonment issues come from. That movie was about his abandonment issues, not because of his friend didn't come see him, Apollo didn't come see him. It's because he came from a family where he did not have security, emotional security, financial security, or over top just security. And that plays in the space of the black community. Because if you look at a lot of young black men in this era, they're always around their boys. They're throwing up the middle finger with their boys. They're always, they dress like each other. This system is preparing young black men to go into the jails, the penal system. Because that's what they're used to. They're not used to being around women. They're not used to being around grown men teaching them and doing different things. They're used to being in a clique and a pack because they are not truly men. They are immature men. So if you're immature, you don't know what maturity looks like. You don't have an image of maturity. Your idols don't have an image of maturity. So you believe you learn your maturity from men who are just as immature as you because you follow the group. If the group makes it seem okay, then you would think this is the correct route I'm supposed to be going. If your group treats women a certain way, you treat the women a certain way. If your idols, who are also immature, treat women this way, you, in your mind, regardless if you believe in the lyrics or believe in just it's just the beat, regardless of what you hear, you are going to subconsciously treat women a certain way based on who your idols are and who the group you follow. So in that, you can never understand certain aspects of this world, and you can never see below the surface because all of your immaturity is on the surface. Only mature people can see completely deep underneath the surface and underneath this system to know what it truly is. And once you beat this system and look beneath of it, you're no longer scared of it. See, people who are on the surface are scared of this system. You're scared of the police brutality scenarios. You're scared of being pulled over. You're scared of, quote unquote, the ever-faltering white supremacy ideology. You're scared of that because you haven't seen underneath of it. And since the Most High never gave us a spirit of fear, except to fear him, those who do not truly understand that sentence will forever stay at the surface and forever stay in a space of immaturity. So that movie was just funny to me because the whole thing was stupid because literally it shows how fake boxing really is. Even they wrote that scenario. That movie was so fast. They literally gave a title shot to a man who has not even fought, who has no amateur record, that has no professional record, and he automatically gets a shot at a title shot with a champion. Somebody who had to fight numerous opponents and knock out numerous opponents and then give a title shot to guys who are completely unknown. They took that same scenario from Rocky. Given a completely unknown, but at least the Rocky movies, there was a backstory. There was a lead up to it. You know, you had depth with those characters. And that's what I'm saying with this. Even in this system, there at least was depth and understanding and creativity. But when they rushing through these rituals, it doesn't even stick long. For this generation, it sticks because of stupidity. But those who have been grown up like Gen Xers, those who have been gone through the media system and actually understood the complexity of characters on the TV screen, when we watch these movies now, you can tell everything is off. You can tell things are mimicked or copied or plagiarized from something, you know, far back that they have done. And they don't even make it a good remake. But really, if you understood where they got this whole black man love thing from, this homoeroticism from, all you had to do is look into scripture and know the relationship between David and Jonathan. But even in that scenario, neither did David or neither did Jonathan say, you know what, I'm going to be mad at you for what your father Saul is trying to do to me. They was like, all right, help me escape. Help me escape, and I'll come back, and, you know, we still boys, but I got to leave and go do my thing. I have to escape your father. I have love for your father, but I have to escape because he's seeking my life because of the prophecy that's on my life concerning him. Jonathan did get upset and get mad and said, man, we supposed to be boys. Man, you don't abandon your boys. Jonathan didn't even do that. He followed behind his father, and sadly, they both died in battle. And that grieved David's heart. But like I said, it's a righteous way of brotherly love. When it comes to this system, at this particular time in this generation, it's about homoerotic love. That you're supposed to be mad at your boys for you making the mistake and him not coming and bailing you out of your mistake or comforting your mistake or writing you back. I just laughed at the way they frame that movie. I just laughed. I'd rather them just bring back Clubber Lang, Mr. T, and have them have Adonis fight Clubber Lang. Because it was a cheap ripoff. And while we on Jonathan Majors anyway, obviously he's age 33. So you know the situation that he had with his white girlfriend, you know that is a ritual. Soon as he's at height, he has to go through his embarrassment ritual. Now, he done hit the effeminate, girly, weak black man ritual off the bat. Now he hit another ritual off the bat, an embarrassment ritual. He got to pay for them putting him on the spot. Now, I don't think he's a good actor. Just like I don't think Michael B. Jordan is really a convincing or a good actor to even have a star on the Walk of Fame. I don't think Jonathan Majors is a great actor. I mean, the way he played that role in Creed, and then you see him played in the Quantumanium and the Ant-Man and Wasp movie, it was even horrible in that one. But like I said, they're rushing people through this system. They're rushing you through the ritual because they know that this system is going to fall. And when it falls, all the idols are going to fall because they ain't going to be needed. We're going to be so deep in slavery, mental slavery, and emotional and financial slavery, we won't have time to try to relate to Hollywood characters. That's why most of these movies are hour 35 or whatever, because they want you to want to look for something else. People don't have the attention span to really hone in and focus on one character. You remember back in the day when they had Beta and VHS movies? Like when you went to see a movie at the movie theater, it literally took maybe 7 months for that movie to go onto Beta or VHS tapes for you to see it. Even when it went to DVD, it still took maybe 6 or 7 months for them to produce these DVDs. Now, the movies are still in the movie theater when it's gone on digital on iTunes or on Apple. Like I said, they just bombard. Like I said, with the bombarding distractions, they're bombarding you and rushing through these movies and rushing through these psyops and rushing through these rituals where everything is falling apart because they're so chomping at the bit to get to Agenda 2030 because they can't wait for y'all to be locked down, can't go nowhere, can only go to work and to your house. And if you barely got a job that you can't survive enough to feed your family, they want to push all this through before 2030 so they can keep you in slavery. And so they can hurry up and try to beat judgment. See, they think they can beat the book of Revelation. They think they're going to beat that 42-month period that the Most High is going to give Satan to reign for just a little while. That 42 months is going to feel like 5 months, to tell you the truth, the way time is flying. Which is, I'm glad the Most High is doing that. I'm glad he's given us that grace period, that small grace period to even see what Satan's kingdom would truly look like so we can, like I said in the last episode, to really truly adore the glory that comes from surviving through that 42 month. It's going to be wild, but they're trying to get all these psyops and rituals and the MK Ultra programming through Hollywood and through music. They're trying to get that go through so fast that it's jumbled up. It's like a train derailment. They just pulling one ritual after another. They don't even know if it's hitting or not. They're just doing it. But that's what I see. That's what I see with this world being very immature. And we all been immature before, but I think this is a lot worse than our generation, because obviously if you look at the media and what's going on in this world, there's nowhere in the world most of that would even pass in the 90s or even in the early 2000s. If you look at the transition of Sam Smith, look at that transition. You can tell that's not natural. It's not organic. Now, we've seen artists go from being sweet and innocent and kind of slowly change. Like 4 albums later, slowly change. But you literally seen Sam Smith go from a quiet, preppy looking kid to all of a sudden he done gained weight and he gyrating in bustiers and lingerie and looking real stupid. It ain't even looking cool satanic. It just looks stupid. They're just literally going out and see how much they can get away with. Because if you think that is the pinnacle of where we're going, everything else they're going to slide under you. They're going to make pedophiles or quote unquote minor attractive persons look sane compared to Sam Smith. And that's why they put this in front of your face. That's why they had Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion, all these female rappers say and look disgusting. So you would think people who are true pedophiles and sexual deviants look like angels compared to them. And that's why they put these images in your face. People get so upset and off the wall when you look at this. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be looking this stupid. I don't know why people get mad like with Sam Smith or a Doja Cat. Like, I laugh at these. These people are a joke. These people are supposed to be laughed at. They are a joke. They are not to be taken serious. You know they don't make any decisions by themselves. I'm talking even at the very top of Jay-Z and a Beyonce, that type of caliber of artist, they don't make decisions on their own either. Why do you think that partnership between Ivy Park, Beyonce's Ivy Park and Adidas was broken? Because no one cared. Just like them Darion jeans she tried to sell back in the early 2000s. No one's paying attention. No one cares. If the spell ain't hidden, they move on. That's why they part ways, because no one was buying that garbage. No one was buying her stuff. No one's ever bought her. No matter how popular she is, she cannot no longer relate to the trash that we see now. And you're not going to trash her whole appearance or make her appearance lower than some of these rappers that you see now talking about how their vagina is pink and their booty hole is brown. There's no way in the world they're going to make her stoop to that, because they still need her corporate dollars. She still makes corporate money. So she can't go completely disgusting. That's why you don't see certain artists being, put out. That's why you don't see artists making the music that they used to make, because it's a vibration that they're trying to get everybody into and it's heading towards the gutter. And it's the gutter of immaturity. So if you see women who are immature, then guys who are immature themselves think this is a partnership. And then what do you see? You see the wildest things happen in the news based on immaturity. For an example, they're all trying to bring back this Hulu doc. They're trying to really put money behind this Hulu documentary that's talking about the 90s Freaknik, which was just a party. I think it was in Daytona Beach, I think it started. Or it started in somewhere upstate Florida, where it started where people would congregate or gather and women would twerk and men would be overly hypersexual, which means they were almost like, I've heard stories of guys raping women during this event. When I was growing up, I would hear stories like people who have gone down there, like kids I know gone down there or had older brothers or cousins have gone into this party. And they would hear stories. I would hear stories on the news. They would talk about girl was raped. A girl had her shirt ripped open. And they would show the news. A crowd of black men would see a woman twerking. Even if she wasn't twerking, they would go and rip her shirt off. They made a small documentary back then about Freaknik. And then they stopped having it because of the violence that was happening around black women. Now, because they can't keep us in curses, they can't put us in chains and a yoke of iron around our neck. So now they find more creative ways to try to get us to destroy each other. So this is where you get Freaknik coming out. So now they try to duplicate Freaknik And I want to say, so was it South Carolina, I think, or North Carolina that mass shooting happened where they tried to do a Freaknik and multiple people got shot and some people died. But it's the level of immaturity. How far can we get Black America to go into the gutter of immaturity? How far can we go? Because if we get them in immaturity, that means they will not have a natural fear of the Most High. And if they don't have a natural fear of the Most High, then they will be forever stupid and they will be yoked to their curses willingly. They will be yoked to Deuteronomy willingly without us ever having to go into their homes and put a yoke of iron around their neck. Now, the other side of that, it would be people like 19 Keys that some of you follow and some of you like Billy Carson. I've hearing his name more and more. I've seen his videos on TikTok and Instagram more and more. The guy, he has a page called Forbidden Knowledge, and he's out here in Weston. He's like literally not too far from where my child goes to school at. But I looked up Billy Carson and looked up the pictures. His thumbs are in a pyramid, which means he's a Prince of Freemason. And one of his videos is talking about how the Bible isn't about God and how the Egyptians and all these different civilizations had the story of Noah and the Ark before Noah and the Ark. And he's actually getting 1 million views talking against scripture. And he's a Prince of Freemason. But people are legit believing him as if he's really speaking knowledge. But he's not. It's a knowledge of immaturity. To continue, keeps pushing everything Egyptian, keep pushing Anunnaki, keep pushing aliens, and people are eating it up. Why? Because they have an immaturity mind, and their minds aren't smart. Immaturity leads to being stupid. Not to being spiritually discerning or spiritually awakened. Your actions would be immature. Your thought process would be immature. The people you're around would be immature. The emotions that you exude, that you would show would be immature. So you really have to look at this world for what it is. And a lot of women, a lot of feminists like to say, oh, the patriarch this, the patriarch that, it's down with the patriarch. But it shows how stupid feminism is, because if you actually paid attention to what the real patriarch is, it's not even masculine. The real patriarch isn't even masculine. It's a word they just throw around. This is really a matriarchal society. They talk more about goddess worship. They talk more about Greek, the female Greek goddesses, than they do anything masculine. The men who most feminists claim are patriarchs are undercover homosexuals. The rituals they had to do had to be done with men or children. So it's not real masculinity that you're going against. Because a lot of single independent believe, oh, the patriarch, we gotta tear it down. Tear what down? There is no masculine patriarch. It's a matriarchal society now. You just see the shell, you see the image of it being masculine because you see crusty old men being at the forefront of it. But I know if you, like I said before, if you look at the surface, you look beneath the surface of this world, it's all effeminate. My favorite word is a bunch of he bitches. That's all it is. I don't care if it's Shannon Sharp. I don't care if it's Tom Brady. I don't care if it's Robert Kraft or Meek Mill or any rapper you think is tough. It don't matter because they're ruled by a he-bitch society and a he-bitch organization. And that organization is Prince of Freemasonry, is York Scottish Rite Freemasonry, is Skull and Bones, is Jesuits. What do you think they do with these rituals? Why do you think they implement in these rituals, dating back all the way to the Knights Templar, that what they do would do homosexual rituals and they would defecate on a cross or defecate on it on an effigy of the fake Jesus Christ? Why do you think Skull and Bones, they do the ritual of masturbating in a coffin around men? It ain't around women. It's around men. Why do you think Aleister Crowley, when he got into sex magic, it was against children, male children? That his sex magic rites are homosexual. Why do you think they call them phallic worshipers? If you look at the old school Greek pottery and Roman artwork that was going around that at that time, it was they were worshiping penises. It was mostly men. I didn't see women artwork saying, "Yeah, I love to draw and make, you know, penis artifacts and objects and glorify it." No, this is from men. Even the story of the 300 Spartans, if you know anything about their military practices, it's the same exact practices that is implemented in United States America's military practices, which means if you want to rise, it's not through war that you rise. You rise for getting your bottom ate up, for getting your bottom busted up by those who are ahead of you or a general. So they picking people who are one attractive and who want to move up. And one the only way you can move up, just like in Hollywood, in the music industry, the only way you move up is if you get on your knees, open your mouth, or open your cheeks. That's it. It ain't about talent no more because they don't have time to nurture talent. Either you got it or you don't. And they after that influence. And that influence is all based on immaturity. So if you're paying attention to more immature objects and more immature desires and immature doctrines, your brain is going to do anything and everything to think immature. And this is truly the problem with men in this generation. Because we don't know how to handle, because men do not know how to handle certain situations and environments, so their brains are trained to react immaturely. Even brothers who are in the truth sometimes can act immaturely. I know I sometimes, when rage and wrath come up, I also have little flashes of acting immaturity until I have to settle myself down, repent, or pray for forgiveness. But it's a constant cleaning out because this is the environment that we're in. We're in an environment that's praising, exalting immaturity. I was reading another silly story, with Fuji's rapper, Praz Michelle, convicted in foreign influence case. Now, if you're on the surface, you look at this as, oh, something big. But if you know that they don't vote presidents and nothing that has ever happened with foreign money and local money that has ever deterred what will be. It don't matter if he was given $200 million to Obama administration or $200 million to Trump administration. It don't matter. Nothing was going to ever change. But it says Michelle faced charges stemming from his relationship to Joe Low, it sounds like Joe Blow, Joe Low, a Malaysian billionaire accused of stealing $4 billion from a Malaysian sovereign wealth fund. Back in 2002, prosecutors said Michelle used Low's illegal foreign money to buy seats for people at fundraisers for then-President Barack Obama. What does that change? You don't think other people have done the same thing? You don't think Hunter Biden has done the same thing? Nancy Pelosi has done the same thing? All these politicians that have done the same thing? For some reason, they threw this in there because they think we're going to be distracted by this. They think we really care about... The kids today don't even listen to the Fugees. So I don't know why they threw this case in here. Years later, after the FBI started investigating Lowe for stealing money, Lowe wanted Michelle and others to help him convince the Trump White House to go easy on Low. So you really think a black rapper in his 50s that hadn't even really done anything since the Fugees has that much political pull and power because you funnel some money to him? I guarantee you that's just a setup because you don't even know where that money went or where it ended up at. I know it didn't end up in the Trump organization. I know it didn't end up in the Barack Obama's organization. But they telling you they funneled that money and they divided it up amongst themselves. So like I said before, when the floods hit, they're finding new and fast ways to scam. And that's all they're doing. They're just putting it in front of your face. Like, oh, he's an agent of China. Oh, we got black people, agent of China. But we have also a whole Chinese police force two blocks from the FBI headquarters and didn't know what was going on. But we have China, people from China creating their own police force within the United States. And all of a sudden, the FBI don't even know until now. But had their building 2 blocks from them and didn't know this. So they right now, they're trying to search for stories that, one, they tell you that they're money laundering. And two, they want us to be mad at China because we are trying to defend Taiwan. And so we can get into this trade war that'll disrupt the economy even more. Because what you see right now is China, Russia, everybody's partnering up to get away from the dollar. So we can't look stupid. So we have to have, like I said before, a matrix of immaturity. So we got to paint the picture like China is at fault, Russia is at fault, all these African nations that's going to sooner or later partner with Russia, they gonna be at fault. Why do you think that whole incident in Sudan happened? You think it happened because they was over there defending humanitarian aid and humanitarian needs? No. They went over there to try to blow up a bio facility to leak viruses out, and they're gonna use that storyline because everybody in East Africa, or most nations in East Africa, are gonna start getting away from the dollar. So let's make up a story. Let's blow up a bio facility. And so we can look at those nations and say they are at fault. They are the enemy. And watch, we have the onset or the consequences of our own stupidity, our own immaturity. And watch how another pandemic gonna kick off. And that means another wave of restrictions, another wave of people acting ignorant, another wave of fights over masks. It's going to happen. It needs to happen. But it needs to happen and programmed in a certain way so that it all clicks with the next presidential election. It has to happen. Because people think they're smart, aren't smart. Because real mature people can see it for what it is. Immature people still believe that the politicians are real true-to-life Christians. And Christians don't understand this. Because they have no conscience. Even if they believe that they follow Jesus and they follow God, if they did, they would have the same Ruach HaKodesh that we all have, and they would be able to see past politicians, Trump, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, this whole system, everything. They would be able to see past their own religion if they were truly following the Mashiach. And I know they don't. And I know some of you, and this is what the message I want to get to, because I know some of you are struggling with your significant other and being the head of your household. And you have to, like I said before, you can no longer think and act immature when you are the head of your household. Those things are out of the window. You cannot ever show a moment of weakness or a moment of immaturity when you are trying to walk right and you want your partner to walk right with you. I'm telling you, you cannot have a chink in your armor. That means you have to start learning how to rule properly. Now, I'm not saying go out and be deceitful. I'm not saying be harsh. I'm not saying be physical. I'm not saying none of that. But I'm telling you to be spiritually discerned, but I want you to be spiritually tough. You have to stand your ground. If you look through scripture, when has the Most High ever blessed the nation of Yasharel through being disobedient, through being in religions or being idolatrous or being sinful? When have you ever seen the Most High have a look back and say, you know what? Okay, oh, you did this? Oh, you worship other idols? Let me give you some more grace and let me give you some blessings. Then maybe hopefully you'll change and get out of that. He has never done that. So if we look at the Father's love for his nation, we should emulate or imitate that same love, that same obedience. We should at least try to, which means if I'm living right by the Most High and I'm leading my household and I want to be blessed, that means I do everything right. That means he blesses me when I'm doing things right. And he corrects me along the way. Now, in my household, since the Mashiach is the head of my household, so now it trickles down to me how I handle my household. So if I'm with my covering and I'm with my child, I make sure my covering and my child are adhering to certain things. So then when they're doing everything right, I'm blessing them, which means it could look like anything. I take my covering out to a fancy dinner, or I take her on vacation. I want to appreciate her, that I'm appreciating her allowing me to lead her, allowing me to be her cover. Now, when she messes up, I pull her to the side and say, all right, please don't do this again. But if it's ever a chance where it continually happens, then I don't do certain things. I don't reward. I don't bless the same way because the Most High doesn't bless me for being disobedient. So that means I'm not going to bless her or bless my child for being disobedient or not allowing me to cover properly. So it would look like, okay, no, we're not going out this month, or we're not going to have fun this month. We're not going to go on vacation here this month because you haven't allowed me to do my duty and you haven't come under me. That's how some of you men need to start ruling your households and stop being timid. Because being timid, especially when you have women that are in doctrines or in religions, she's waiting for you to have a chink in your armor because she don't think you that serious. She won't take you serious if you continue to be like, okay. I think a lot of you are scared to, in hopes that she won't just, you know what, I'm going to leave because y'all don't want to be alone and y'all have children. I get that part. But you really have to, like they say, like we say in football, you got to know your roster. You got to know what you're dealing with. You got to know who you've drafted. You got to know who your free agents are. You need to know your roster. You need to know the depth chart. You need to know your player. So right now, you need to know your person. What is your person capable of? What is the images that your person is seeing on a daily basis? Because I said before, if she's watching immaturity, if your partner is into immaturity, their reactions and their emotions are going to reflect that immaturity in your household. So it's important for you. It's really important to truly know what you're facing before you face it. And how to combat that immaturity with a mature spirit. I'm not saying be spiteful. I'm not saying be vindictive. I'm saying we should all mirror the love and blessings and also the chastisement that the Most High has shown us. We should really reflect the Father's love. And that love is long-suffering and grace, yes. But he was only long-suffering and graceful and merciful to the children of Yisrael, oh, but so much. If he was forever graceful and forever long-suffering, he wouldn't have to continually keep sending his children into slavery. And like I said before, when he sent his children into slavery, some of it was for 70 years, it was 80 years here and there, maybe 50 years. But you knew when he had enough, and he told Abraham from the beginning, I'm going to send them. Before we even had an Exodus, he told Abraham. Before they even went to Egypt, he told Abraham. Before there was Yahushua and Moshe, he told Abraham that your descendants are going to be slaves in a land that they know not for 400 years. That's when you know the Most High knew exactly what he was up against. He knew his roster. He knew his depth chart. He knew his players. And even when he knew that, he was giving us grace and long-suffering. But the inevitable still happened. We still ended up over here for 400 years, more than any other period of time where we faced slavery. He gave us double than what was initially received in Egypt. Double. So this is how you have to build your household up. And I know it's difficult because now you're in it. You can't go nowhere. And that's why I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but Yahuwah, let not the woman depart from her man. Let not the woman depart from her man. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her man, and not let the man put away his woman. But to the rest speak I, not Yahuwah, okay? When he says, but the rest speak I, he is coming from his personal experience. It's coming from his spirit, his ruach, not Yah. If any brother has a woman that believes not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which has a man that believes not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Okay? So what I get from that is that because we're in a nation of immaturity, we are, you know, in a generation of immaturity. If she want to be with you, Fam, you work that out. But like I said, you work it out the way I think you should work it out, by being mature, by reflecting how Yah ruled his household, which is the household of Yasharel. And the woman which has a man that believes not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving man is sanctified by the woman, and the unbelieving woman is sanctified by the man. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. So it's long suffering and grace within that. But it would you would know that you're at least working with a foundation. All you have to do is really, if I were you, I would go into Stephen Darby's old sermons, specifically the one called The Veil of Jezebel, have her watch that, and then Truth Unedited video that just dropped, where he talks about the replacement theology. If you have a partner that's still ingrained in Christianity, make them watch those videos. Say, hey, babe, we're not going to dinner until you watch this video. They're only an hour long. Yeah, I'm telling you, y'all need to start putting your significant others in spaces where they can see knowledge and understanding, instead of letting them try to figure out by themselves. Because the longer that they figure it out by themselves in this matrix that's surrounded by immaturity, no matter how far they go into it, they're still going to react emotionally, and they're still going to have the same mindset to do things immaturely and not have the fruit of a mature spirit. You got to do that. That's why it says, if you have an unbelieving woman in the doctrines that we follow, it is you that sanctify the woman, and vice versa. It's you that does this. You do this by your works. You do this by what you know. I'm not telling you that you got to sit them down and reprimand them like a child. I'm telling you this way. Like it says, be wise as a serpent and soft as a dove. You could be soft as a dove, but be slick with it. But hey, before we go, babe, let's watch this. Hey, before we go do this, let's watch this. Hey, babe, I got to plan a nice a trip out in Arizona at this resort. But let's watch this first on YouTube, and then we can go into it. It's ways you could do it. You're not tricking your significant other. I mean, if you want to go take her on a trip, you could do all that. But I'm saying it's ways to do this. It's way to let her know that you are serious about this walk, and that certain privileges or certain, you know, perks of the relationship are going to be put on the back burner until she learns how to be equally yoked to you. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not holding a steak in front of her, a carrot in front of her head, and leading them on. You're not doing that. But you're letting her know, this is what's serious to me, and this is what I need from you to get this relationship on track so I can bless you the way the Father has blessed me to be able to take you to nice things and do things with. Watch her face when you tell her that. Watch her face when you bring that on her. Because what she watches, it eventually, that truth, that seed is going to be planted. And that's all you need. You need to continually plant the seed, and you need to continue to water it here a little, there a little. Almost like scripture. Here a little, there a little. You have to constantly water that thing. If you got to turn over the soil a little bit, turn over the soil a little bit. If you got to put it in the sun for 4 hours, put it in the sun for 4 hours. But you are cultivating. If Yahuwah is the creator, the master, he also created us a certain way. So then we should also have some form of that creation, or some form of cultivating a seed, or cultivating, like we're either gardeners or farmers, but you have to do the work. Now, everybody's situation is the same, because some situations are beyond saving. Some of the situations are supposed to separate you so you can find someone that is equal, that is able to be equally yoked with you. Now, you can't save everybody. The Most High does not, you know, the Most High is not going to come out of the clouds and say, hey, you need to be with this person and you need to act right. He's not going to do that. He's not going to force his way on everybody. If that was the case, this world would be completely different from what it is now. He has not ever forced his ways on anybody. He didn't force his way on the nation of Yasharel. They agreed to it. So when you agree to the I do, and you agree to your woman, or you agree to your man, this is what it takes. You agreed. So then you should also reflect what that agreement entails. It's not supposed to be all rainbows and soft rain sometimes. But you, in order for you to be taken serious, in order for you to have a mature spirit and a mature walk, you need to have the same mentality as the Most High, I believe. But if the unbeliever depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not in bondage in such cases, but Elohim has called us to peace. For what you know, O woman, whether you shall save your man, or how you know, O man, whether you shall save your woman. But as Elohim has distributed to every man, as Yahuwah has called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I of all the called out assemblies. Is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of Elohim. Are you called being a servant? Care not for it, but if you may be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in Yahuwah being a servant is Yahuwah's freeman. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Mashiach's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye servants of men. These are the scriptures. This is where you need to go in with your partner. Because your partner most likely are serving men, or serving the doctrines of men, or serving the realities of men, or serving the matrix made by men. Serving the immaturity of men, because this is all we see in this generation. It is up to you as a man, as a mature man or a mature woman in this walk, who may be ahead of your partner spiritually, it is up to you to make them servants, or show them what it looks like to be a servant of the Mashiach or Yahuwah or both. It's up to you. And you need to understand what that comes with. It's, yes, it's long suffering. Yes, it's graceful. Yes, it's mercy. But it also comes with a little bit of chastisement. And chastisement doesn't mean pulling off your belt and laying down the strap. I'm not talking about that. It's ways you could do it. It's slick ways you could do it. Slick ways. So that make her think twice. That means it puts everything on your partner. Like, oh, you are not having a fun time? Well, because we are not equal. You have to show them you are not completely yoked so they can fix it. And it will, if they love you, they will eventually fix it. If they truly love you, they will fix it. Trust me. Because during this time, no one wants to chance it going at this alone in these financial times. I'm telling you. And if they have a little bit of that immature spirit, like I said before in this early episode, it's the surface fear that's going to get them to act right, which is a blessing to you. That you're going to need that. That surface fear that they fought, that you think that the immaturity that they follow, that comes with that surface fear of them being scared. You are not scared because you know underneath this place. But for them, they only know the surface fear. And so eventually, once they see too much of that heat coming, they're going to want to be covered. Trust me, they are not going to leave you as easily. And I'm pretty sure the Most High is going to protect you in a way that they will have no other option but to come back to you hat in hand with the little porridge bowl from, I can't even think of that movie. Oliver Twist with his little bowl. We can have some more. It's going to eventually happen. It's going to happen sooner to most, but it's going to eventually happen before 2030 kickoff. I'm telling you, these next 4 or 5 years are going to be crucial for your household and making sure that is fortified for when Agenda 2030 happens. Because it won't be, let's freely move around this place. It won't happen that way. I know it won't. I already know what's coming, but I'm prepared. I'm blessed and living in my blessings because I've been given a new courtship, which I haven't lacked nothing. I've done more Bible studies with this woman than I did with the previous woman all 5 years of rekindling that relationship since I met her in high school. I'm living exactly where I'm supposed to be. Not everybody's supposed to go back and forth. I prayed, I begged, I cried for what I'm enjoying now, I begged and cried for that. I'm at total peace. My household is not in conflict. It's not upside down. It's in complete, it's in correct order for me to, one, do the work that I'm capable of doing and still be blessed and follow these laws, statutes, commandments. It helps me be a proper servant to the Mashiach for having a proper covering. That's what I love. That's why I'm at peace. That's why my tone changed from the last time y'all heard me talk about my relationships to now. I'm at totally peace right now. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with Elohim. Not concerning, I'm not going to get into the concerning virgins and you know all that, but this is what it is. Like it says, and I'm going to go into, wrap it up with 32. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to Yahuwah, how he may please Yahuwah. But he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his woman. There is a difference also between a woman and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of Yahuwah, that she may be holy both in body and in ruach. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her man. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you. Now, when he say cast a snare upon you, means he don't say fall in love with the world. When in the book of John, it says deny and hate the world. He not so that's why he said, I may not cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon Yahuwah without distractions, which means in order for me to not be distracted of trying to be a covering for somebody who wants to chase idols, instead of dealing with that, I can serve the Most High perfectly, or not perfectly. I can strive for perfection when serving the Most High. I can't do that if I'm distracted by a woman who wants to chase everything in this world, chase the immaturity of this world. It distracts me. It throws me off. So my new courtship doesn't allow that distraction. I'm focused. So in doing so, I'm able to bless and I'm able to be happy picking and choosing the things of this world to show my love and affection, to show that I appreciate her allowing me to cover her, that we are equally yoked. That's what it means to care about the things of this world, how to please your partner. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you're doing it righteously, it's nothing wrong with that. I think we sometimes get way too hard on ourselves when it comes to how we should bless and how we should live and how we should live in peace and joy. No one's telling you that you have to completely hate this world. You hate the doctrines. You hate what it stands for. Yes. But when it comes to your significant other and it comes with you trying to equally walk right, whether you have a partner or you don't, you still should understand this. That you find the righteousness, in his creation that you're able to enjoy with your person, with your partner, with your covering, with your head of your household, to be able to enjoy that righteously, enjoy his creation without ever being, in wickedness or being unrighteous. Like he says, this world he has built for many, but the world to come, he has built it for few. And that few in that world, it's going to be simplistic. It's going to be a lot of walks to the waterfalls. It's going to be a lot of playing with wild animals. It's going to be a lot of spacey ground to do long walks and sightsee and nature walks and nature see. That's what's going to be your world anyway. It's not going to be going to football games or going to the bars. It's not going to be none of that. But it's going to be a nice little trip to the winery. Or like they had vineyards in Israel, Yasharel's days. We don't hear about this, but yeah, you got to assume that you could just walk around and go to your neighbor's vineyard and it'd be like a wine tasting. Every day could be a wine tasting for you. I want that. I want to be able to have a cottage near a waterfall, unbothered, in peace, and sharing those blessings with somebody who's equally yoked. That's still the world. That's caring for things how to please. If you live righteously and you live maturely, you know you can find great ways to please your partner. It's great ways that can open up their heart, open up their eyes, open up how you walk and being creative by using the Royal Kakadesh to be creative in all that you do that pleases your man or pleases your woman. That's what the Ruach gives you. The Ruach gives you opportunities and options to help please someone, to open their eyes to something they've never been opened up before. That's the beauty of the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, if you don't have that Ruach, and if you're in religion, and if you don't understand the level of immaturity that you see on the news, the level of immaturity you see in entertainment, you are going to pick places that's going to land you in damnation or in judgment or in a snare. That's why you see black folk all of a sudden trying to rekindle that Freaknik vibe. It's not going to happen, but they keep talking about it online. I've seen Christian black pastors talking about it online. But that's the immature mind. It's like, let's take my girl to go see Freaknik and then watch it get shot up. Let's take my girl to go see a Travis Scott concert or a Sam Smith concert. That's immature minds go to immature places and they get immature results. You are not immature. You have a mature mind when you lead your household or you being a woman of the Most High. You have a spirit of maturity. So all your options and all your opportunities and all your environments are going to wreak a matureness, which is going to be the beauty of his creation. That's what we should look forward to. Whether with ourselves, whether with the people who are recording, whether the people we are in a relationship with, it all comes down to maturity and knowing how to use that mature card to bring in or rope in someone who is either unbelieving or yoked to different doctrines. It's up to you, especially men. It's up to you. If I was you, read the Song of Solomon. Get in that loving spirit. The whole scripture ain't about just slavery, punishment, sin, in prophecy. Read some of the books that talk about love so you can develop that spirit. Read, just get in the books that are all that's not just the New Testament. And I promise you, through that Royal Kakadesh, you're going to come up with ideas to please your woman as if you are in Jerusalem thousands of years ago and you're getting ready to plan something that has something in an environment that kind of recalls the scriptures that you read. That's what I do. I'll see y'all next week.